Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, it's like sunshiny where she's at.
I know. It was a beautiful day today. It is still sunshiny. It's dark here.
It is dark and they just canceled school again. So guess what? Yep, they canceled school today, which was fine. I mean, we didn't have power, so it's not like, whatever. And then they canceled school tomorrow and we start spring break Friday. So
you have an extended spring break.
no, I don't. My child does.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's why my face is so orange, I suppose. I'm like preparing for spring break. Okay. Love it. Love it. I love that for me. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
So glad to have you here with us tonight. I'm sure you're just like so excited to be here with the three of us.
I'm so excited. I feel like I really want to hear all about the 35 miler though. So like, I don't know. I feel like we should be talking about that.
Well,
About
we want to
wins. I want to
spotlight
hear from
on you
wins.
though to share your accomplishment from February.
Know. I feel very honored.
Thank you for having me. We can definitely ask some of those questions. I'm sure a few of the people that are in the that are actually watching would love to talk a little bit about that too. But Lauren's right. We are here to talk about you and the things that you are doing and. First of all, let's just start off with where did this whole I'm gonna run the day of the month challenge come from?
So I first heard about it from Owen. I don't know if you guys follow him. He's over in the UK
Oh, yes.
and he's the ultimate streaker. And I don't know. I forget. I don't know if it was after I did a 50 miler and I was trying to figure out what I would do next. And he threw out the calendar run, which is you run the amount of miles for the day on the calendar. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. But I just haven't ever been able to really wrap my brain around making the time for it and actually doing it. I wanted to like really give it its best effort if I was going to do it. And I don't know. Recently, and there's another guy on here on TikTok. I can't remember his
Name, he did it
name. Or he's doing it every day for a full year.
like I followed that guy.
talking
Yes.
Yeah, he
Like,
did it. He finished it.
yeah. So crazy. So
He would pop up and it was just always in the back of my mind as a challenge that I wanted to try. And so then finally, I don't know.
sometimes, like, there's a lot of me that likes to push my limits.
But there's also a lot of me that likes to really challenge myself when I feel like maybe I don't have control of something in my life. I don't know if anybody else does that. So I had some other stresses in my life where I was just like, I have to do something for me and I have to push myself and I have to have something that I'm focusing on. And so I was like, well, February is the shortest month of the year. So that's my best bet of
Getting it done. So
I was like, this is the time. So I started it and at the beginning of February and I thought, oh, I'm gonna do it all outside.
And then February 1st it started snowing and then it kept snowing and I did 2 days and I was like, ah, treadmill, whatever.
And I didn't put it out there yet. And then I think it was on the 8th that I put it on.
I was like, if I'm gonna do this, I have to put it out into the TikTok world, like, to get everybody
to
to
hold me accountable for this. Because that's where I found my accountability for a lot of stuff that I've done. I
seriously think Run Talk just could help you get through anything.
So yeah, I put it out there on the 8th and then it was just a thing.
So I was just going for it.
I think that's funny that you say that. I agree with you when it comes to like holding yourself accountable for the things that you're doing. It's almost like I gotta share this with my friends. I gotta put it out there because then it's something that I'm like, okay, somebody is expecting to see it. And then obviously you had more than just one somebody expecting to see it because it's something that all of Run Talk is kind of talking about. And like 28 miles, wow. That's what you were working yourself up to. And it's kind of like a perfect way to like train up to it, I guess, just like slowly but surely. How did
Yeah.
you mentally prepare for that? I mean, you've done other long distances, but like
Yeah.
that's something to mentally prepare for just to do, like, just to do. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Honestly, I think it's just not really knowing what I was really getting into.
Like, I don't think you can. For me, I don't think I could prepare for it. Like, once I hit like
the 20 milers, like those were all like, okay, I'm splitting it up. I can do that. I'll do a majority of the miles in the morning before work, and then I'll hop on a lunch break.
You know, a 10-minute break, just knock out a mile or something like that. And that all seems doable until like,
it's just the back to back. And then it was just
like the time commitment.
I don't think I could
mentally prepare for it, but.
That's what I was going to ask, because about the time commitment, how did you, in that last week where you did like 24 miles and then 25 miles and then 26 miles, how did you find the time to work and recover and get up and just keep grinding?
Yeah,
so that was the thing. I had to focus on getting good rest and everything, right? But I
talked to my boss before I got really into the thick of it. I made sure that
my boss was on board with me, like working short days and showing up late.
And I talked to my husband and was like, Marty, I'm like,
hey, this is kind of what I'm signed up
for. And he was like, of course you are.
Like, yeah. So just to get everybody
on board, because I couldn't,
like, I didn't want to wake up super early and mess up my sleep pattern, because then that was going to, then maybe I get sick, right? And I had that go through my house. Like, I had my husband, who I'm sleeping every night next to, he gets the flu and
this cold.
Oh, God.
And I was so afraid of getting cold getting this cold the entire time. And so, yeah, I don't know. The time commitment,
I was very fortunate that with my work, they were flexible with me, and I worked less. I pretty much used PTO every day, except for the last day when I did 28 miles, because I woke up at 2:30 in the morning.
Holy buckets.
Did you feel any sort of like burnout towards the end?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
but at that point I was like, if I don't finish this now,
like, I won't do it again. Right. Like, so it's,
I either finish it awesome. If I don't, that's okay too. Like, I was preparing myself, like, how sick can I be and still run 27 miles, 28 miles.
I was so invested. I was like, every day, I was like, Sarah, get her miles.
Sarah, get her miles. And I was like, oh, she did it. Like, another day. I was so invested too.
Yeah. And I have to say, so the last night, like, I could feel my body was fighting something the entire time, like the last week or so. Like, I didn't know if it was just like, I'm tired of having 6 goos a day and like eating that, like, like if my body is just revolting. Like, I was also eating a lot of whole foods and trying to really work on protein and hydrating and all of that stuff. But like, I couldn't really tell my body, like, physically, like, my feet weren't bothering me, my legs weren't bothering me, my back, my neck, everything was working. It was just like, I just kind of felt like my system was fighting something a little bit. And the last night, I had all the race, like, it almost felt like I was going to race the next day, like it was those pre-race jitters. And then I went to bed and I couldn't, my body wasn't regulating my temperature. I was sweating like profusely, like, it was awful. And I woke up, Marty was coughing, and he said at one point he reached over and felt that I was just sweating like crazy and just like burning up. Like, not burning up, I didn't have a fever, but like, I don't know, maybe premenopause too, so there's that. But I was just like, I didn't feel sick, I didn't have a sore throat. And when I woke up at 2:30, I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna go and do it. And he thought that I had gotten up and went downstairs, and then he felt bad that he had gotten me sick, and he thought that I had just quit, like that I wasn't going to finish the goal. So he was feeling like massive guilt. Aww. And then he got up at like 6 o'clock and he heard me out on the treadmill, and and that was that. So
well, we all love Marty because we know how he supports you, and we saw that he ran some miles with you as well. So I don't know, from my perspective, we are all, you guys seem like a power couple, and it's fun to see, it's fun to see little glimpses of other aspects of your life too.
Yeah,
I think it's funny. He's come a long commented,
way.
Dan commented about body temperature regulation, and that is something that I had heard too, about like when you start getting into like marathons or ultras and these really long distances in the middle of the night, like extra layers and stuff, because you can start having body temperature regularity. So I wonder if maybe that was part of it too. If you were just like, your body really was like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Sarah, well, I did start. Oh, go ahead.
There's a good question from Ashley in the chat, and she's asking about like your daily recovery and what were some things that got you through. Did you do any, like, and I'm going to expand on that, like in terms of nutrition, but then also did you use any special recovery tools or boots, or was it really just like prioritizing your sleep?
It was really prioritizing my sleep. I have my little post-workout drink with my collagen and creatine and super greens and electrolytes that I would take every day religiously after my run. Other than that, the night before the 28, I did an Epsom salt bath. But yeah, I don't have any special leg boots, or I didn't do anything like that. I tried to stretch a little bit.
Recovery is hard because you have to like make more time for it. And you're like, I had to make the time to do the run in the first place. I ain't got time to do all the extra stuff you're supposed to do to make myself feel better, which I know is not right to say, but it's true. Like, it's hard, especially when you're like doing this as your hobby and trying to make this be something that you do for fun. It's like, okay, well, I realize those things are important, but how do I work those in? That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, just, I don't feel like I know I don't recover enough for sure.
No. Yeah. I think that I, especially when it hit the back to back, like at the end, that final week, like it was so much time was taken up by just the running part of it. So then by the time I got done with the running, it was okay, fueling, I need to eat. So it was like the drink, it was like making some eggs and toast and bacon and like getting food into me as quickly as possible just to, I tracked like just on the Garmin app just to see, you know, about how many calories I, you know, potentially burned during the workout. And then I tried to make sure I far exceeded that with what I took in.
So we could all do the math on this for, but I'm sure you already have. How many miles did you hit in the month of February then?
So I did 407. So the challenge would be 406, but on the first I did 2 miles. So.
You did 26.2 also.
That part, overachiever.
And I did the 26.2, thanks to Marty.
So Sarah, do you have interest now in expanding? I mean, clearly you ran 2 ultras after running like 400 miles basically consecutively for a month. So do you have plans to do any big distance races this year? Like, has this kind of sparked an interest there?
Not necessarily. So me and my friends, I don't know if, I think I posted it, but I think I did a couple times because I talked to some people, but in May, I'm doing the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim, but that's not an organized event. So, okay. I'm just going with a group of my gal pals that we do that stuff. So,
cause you've talked about this. I know it's so hard because sometimes we're all like, we're doing this and doing this and doing this and trying to keep track of everything that everyone's doing. But you say that and it was you've talked about this because you did.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I did that 13 years ago. That was kind of what got me. Well, so I started with the marathon right before I turned 30. And then from there, I had this group of friends and we did the rim to rim of the Grand Canyon. And I was like, I have to come back and do this doubled up. I want to do it. It's just so beautiful. Like, yeah, so I'm going back for that, but it's not organized. We just go and do our thing. And I don't know. I've done the 50Ks, the organized 50Ks, and they're great. I don't know. You guys make it look so much more fun than I feel like it is when I'm in it.
Last year was the first time I ever did an organized race ever besides 2 5Ks. So like, you know, I'm just scratching the surface. These two are the experts when it comes to that kind of thing. And I don't even know, Lindsay, how organized your guys's last race was. I mean,
actually it turned out to be like, we had it organized. We had it pretty much things. I mean, first of all, he just logged on. So Doug. I was like, shout out to Doug.
Yes.
Shout out to Gouda Cheese.
Brewmeister.
He sat in that car for 12 hours and like drove to every spot that we would cross over the trail and had the car parked and ready. At one point we ran out of water again. He went and found water for us and had water waiting for us. I mean, he really, like, it was amazing. The whole day was amazing, but Doug really came in clutch a few times. We all stuck together. All six of us ran together. Other than that, like, we got lost. Like, not even, I can't even say we really got lost. Took a wrong turn twice. It went well. It went really well.
It's awesome.
And that wasn't, like, they had no support on that course. Like, it was
This is a race that I did last year. And basically, you sign up for it, and he sends out an email with the Strava coordinates of the entire, like, the whole map. And you download it onto your Garmin. There's no flags. There's no markers. There's nothing like that. You just follow, like, the blazed trail. There's no aid stations. There's no race crew out there. Nothing like that. You go out. You just have from February 1st to February 28th to get it done. And you just go out there and do it.
That is awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I know Dan is, like, a big proponent. He's like, go do the ultras. And yeah. It's not that I've had bad experiences with it. I just, I don't know.
You talked about how this is just something fun for you and that you don't really care about the organization before. Like, I know you've said that, which I think is super cool, because so many of us get so wrapped up into, like, you know, like, achieving a goal with a race, with a medal, with a thing. And it's like, it's supposed to be fun. Like, if it's not fun, why the heck are we doing it? You know? And I love that about you, because you really do put that out there that way. Like, this is fun. Like, it's supposed to be a way to, like, a release, you know? So I just think that's really cool.
Totally, like, celebrating the fact of running. But I was ticked off when I finished the last 50K and they gave us, like, this little tumbler thing that was, like, a coffee tumbler. I'm like, I don't drink coffee. Like, what am I going to do with this?
Where's my medal that I can wear once and hang on my hook? Come on now.
This is awful, but I threw it away. I was like, I'm never going to use this. It's just going to sit in my cupboard. Like, I don't have, like, a space where I could put it. Like, on display.
Unlike the medals that collect dust.
It's like, you did it out of principle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's terrible. Don't come for me on that.
I get it. Because I want I signed my son and I up for a 5K. Like, first of all, he's run 2 miles his whole life. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to do a full 5K until it's the day, Mom. Like, I just we'll wait for the day. So he has done, he's 10, so he'll be fine. We'll walk run it. But I wanted to make sure that there was a medal, because I know for a kid, and then I'm like, I'm gonna sign up for a race. I want a medal. Like, I mean, I get it, you know, but, like, I still like the fact that you have said, like, hey, this is, you know, this is something that I do for fun. Like, it's not, the intention isn't for me to go out and collect those medals, you know, like, I like that.
Yeah. It's a challenge. It's pushing myself, kind of seeing if I'm able to do some of the things. I mean, I'm still trying to get that Boston qualifier, but I feel like I'm getting further and further away from it. But so I still have some of those, but since I think I changed my focus a little bit, like, okay, what other way can I push myself?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, Kelby did the 4x4x48. I did that 1 year and I loved that. Like, I would totally do that again. I think we talked about maybe doing, like, a run talk 4x4x48 in, like, May or something like that. So I don't know. I like that kind of thing.
Have you always been a runner, Sarah? Like, has it been something you've done since you were younger? Like, when did you get into it?
So I've always been active. I would consider myself an athlete all my life. Like, I did basketball, soccer. Soccer was my main sport. And then I did track, but everything was short distance, right? And so my first marathon was right before I turned 30. And that's probably when I got into distance running, but I was never really consistent with it. Like, I would have a race and I would train for it, and then I wouldn't run for months. And then I would come back to it. I would find something else I wanted to do and I would do that. And I'll go to the gym or do something like that. But I didn't become really as consistent as I have been until the last 4 years. So, and I attribute it 100% to Run Talk. Because I love posting on here. I love the community.
Okay, awesome. I love everything about that too, because it's just interesting to me to find out like how people got into distance running and how, you know, it evolved. Like, and because, you know, someone like me, like, there was absolutely no way I would never in a million years think, oh yeah, I'm actually gonna go out and, like, on a random Sunday, pick some friends and like, oh, we ran 8 miles on Sunday, no big deal. Like, that to me still blows my mind every time I do it. And so, you know, just to hear how it evolves into distance running is really an interesting part of all of this for me. And like listening to everybody talk about that, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lauren. Sorry.
Aside from rim to rim that you're doing with your friends, what other are some of your races on the calendar?
So I have two races that I'm actually signed up for. And one is the super marathon here in Washington State. And I get to meet Doug. So I'm super excited about that. And that is in June, at the end of June. So I have that. And then I got into Chicago. So I am running Chicago. And I am really excited to meet a bunch of other people from Run Talk there.
I get to meet you in real life then. I'm so pumped.
I am so excited.
The plan is to be hype girl for all the people. But we, you know, we still have to wait for that to happen, like, for us to get there. But I'm hoping that I can, so I can come and cheer you guys on.
I don't want to brag, but like the Run Talk meetup the past couple years have been amazing, and I am determined to make this one even better. I think we're just going to continuously grow these things, and it's so fun.
Yeah, no, I
here before the marathon. It's just so much fun. So
you guys made it look so fun. I've never wanted to, like, I didn't know about the World Majors or anything until I was on TikTok. Like, I'd heard about, you know, some of the races, but obviously, but I didn't realize, like, it's this huge series and, like, all of that stuff. And I never wanted to do it. And all of a sudden I saw you guys doing the meetups, and I'm like, so much FOMO. Like, I was like, so much. And so I threw my name in the lottery and I got in, and I am excited. I'm so excited.
That's so awesome.
I'm so excited for you guys both.
Yeah. So other than that, those are the only two races that I have, that I'm signed up for. I don't know. I might do some other things. I've considered, like, that I maybe should race a little bit more, even just small ones, just to help me with my nerves, because I get really super anxious before races. But
what do you think is your favorite distance? Like, do you have a favorite distance?
Half marathons are fun, but I've only done like three of them, but I like that distance. I don't know. It's just like a fun distance. It's not, I don't know.
I feel like you go really hard
the whole time.
I've never run an actual organized 10K, but it's my favorite distance.
Oh yeah.
It's just funny. I don't have a 10K.
You need to run one.
I signed up for one, actually. There's the half marathon I did last year does a 5K and a 10K. And so I'm like, you know what? I've done the 5K, I've done the half marathon, so now I'm going to do the 10K this year. But so it will be my first 10K run this year.
Perfect. And then you'll get to have your medal for your 10K.
Yeah.
I love it.
Keep tipping down. I'm going to ask a question. What is the best running advice you've ever received that's been really beneficial for your running?
I thought about this, and I think it's just the same thing, and it can kind of go on a little bit further, but it's for running shoes. Like, don't just buy something because you saw somebody else wearing them. What works for somebody else might not necessarily work for your foot. I remember going to a running shoe store the first time and being intimidated by going in. And feeling like I didn't know what I was doing, and feeling like people were looking at me like, what is she doing? Like, she's not a runner or whatever. I get in my head. But once I went back a couple of times, I kind of got out of my head. And then, next thing I know, I'm like, I see the full value of them checking out your gait and seeing how the wear on your shoes and things like that, and getting the proper fitting. Yeah. And my experience is that they're not, I don't know,
Fairhaven Runners is the place that I go. It's local, and they, I don't feel like they're pushing a certain shoe. I get to try on like 6 or 7 shoes, like different ones, and run in them, and I can take them back if they're not working. I've taken mm-hmm. shoes back. I find that local running shoes stores are really good about that. So yeah, I don't know. That I feel like everybody talks about that, but I also understand that it can be intimidating or feel like maybe you don't belong the first time you go. So I'd say that's the best advice, is to not give up on that and to go that route.
It is. It's really good. Yeah, I think so too. I think it's important. It's always one of those things where I'll show off a shoe, you know, for Brooks, but I'll say, hey, even still, you have to go and do what works for you. Just because this works for me doesn't necessarily mean it works for you or the next person. This is just what I like. This is what I'm showing off, like that, you know. And so I always try to have that disclaimer. I think we all kind of get to that point. Lauren, you know, I know you are a really big advocate for people to go and test out shoes. Lindsay, you talk about that too. So like, that's obviously a really solid piece of advice for anyone, especially if you're just getting into running, like making sure that what you get and knowing that you're going to a place that's going to be like, hey, if that doesn't work, come back and let's make something happen that does work.
The ability to come back is another really important thing too, yep. because I have gotten shoes before that in the running store, I put them on, they felt great. I did a little run up and down the sidewalk. Yep. These are the ones, took them home, ran 4 miles in them, and absolutely not. Just, yeah. And like that ability of being able to go back that's also really important.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's been my experience, is that the local running shoe stores are really good about that. They understand it, right?
A lot of running stores too, I feel like too, at least here, like the local ones, they have like meetups and running like groups and things like that too, local little like 5Ks. It's a really good way to kind of get your foot in the door as far as like meetups and meeting other running people and group runs and things like that too.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever do any group runs, Sarah? Or are you solely like a solo runner?
I run a lot by myself, but we have this little local group that meets up on Saturday mornings, and they've done it for like 30 years. And so a lot of them have transitioned to walking. But they've really pushed me to try and encourage people to come out, but I've only got really one regular guy that comes and runs with me. And other than that, there's another gal that will walk sometimes and run. I have a hard time getting people, like people think I'm fast, and I'm like, I'm not, like, I might be, considered, but I can do all the paces. Like I can do anything. I just want people to run with sometimes. Like it's fun to have the community of people. So we're still working on that. And I'm hoping with the weather starting to turn around here that with the spring coming, I can start to get more people out with that. But
it's hard. It took me a long time to get to a place where I was like comfortable. And even like the first time I ever ran with Lauren, I was like, I'm going to slow you down. And she's like, I don't care. But it's
And I truly didn't care. Like I really did not.
But I think it's still hard, you know, like you, because we all get so stuck into that area of comparison of other people. I mean, still to this day, today alone, you guys, I probably had 10 DMs from people that asked me what my treadmill pace is. And I always say this, listen, my pace is not your pace. I'm never going to share that. Like I may share like how long a mile took me on if I'm like posting something, but like, it's just so funny. I found myself doing that too. So I would always just kind of shy away from the community of in-person running. And I now have found a few people, which I just say right off the bat, like, hey, this is how fast I'm planning on going today. If that's too slow for you, then I'll do it on my own. And they're always like, no. And you know, I think that's important because we tend to be really hard on ourselves when it comes to that kind of thing. And we don't want to slow people down. I think it's more about me than it would be about like you, if somebody says that to you, like you're too fast. You know, I think it's more them not wanting to like not have you get something out of it.
Yeah.
We not talked really. About that on our, the run that we did, the 35 miler, we kind of talked about how the longer distances like that kind of, at least at what I've experienced, have kind of pulled me away from some of that mindset. You know, no one really asks you when you run 30 miles in the woods. Oh, how long did that take you? Oh, well, I ran my 50K at X amount of pace, because it's not really so much about how fast did you do it. It's about, did you do it? Like, did you get it done? And that's one of the things about like longer distance running that I really do love, is it's not so much about the, how long did it take you to do it? Or, oh, I did it at this pace and you only did it at that pace. It really is about like running with people and just getting it done.
Which I think, and there's part's so awesome.
There's so many cool people. Like you guys came with your people, like you guys ran the whole thing together, but I know you've experienced it before where you're out on the course and you end up running alongside somebody mm-hmm. for a portion of it or whatever. And they help you through that period. And at one point you might be like, all right, I'm going to take off, or you go ahead. Like you're doing great, but I'm just going to hang back here a little bit or whatever. And it's very, very cool. I love that part of it for sure.
Yeah.
And the snacks.
That's really funny that you just said that, because when I ran the marathon, I found like, I started getting leg cramps, and I found this lady who she was doing like a walk run. And this was her, like, I think she said this was her 48th out of, she's trying to do every state. She was in Iowa for 48. Right. And she's like, if you stick by me, you're going to finish, because I've never not finished in the time frame. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to stick by her. And then she's like, you know, maybe you're like, she was probably tired of me talking because they never shut up. Who knows that? But like, she was like, you know, you probably would feel better if you did try to run on it a little bit, because I was trying to like, she was not wrong. But then I ended up finding this young girl who told me at the end, I wouldn't have finished this if you wouldn't have stuck by my side. I ended up sticking with her. Like, I probably could have shaved 10 minutes off. At one point, we had to make a pit stop. But, like, I stayed with her, and she said that to me. And I was like, yeah, at the end of the day, this was about me being able to finish it, not about a time, not about, you know, like, I wanted to, and it that part of it was the coolest part of it, was just, like, I met two women that day that I never would have met had I not like just taken it as more of a fun thing instead of been so focused on myself.
Totally. Yeah. It can like just be a good distraction.
Oh yeah.
You know, once you get into a good conversation or you find somebody. I saw Ashley's comment. Did somebody see that?
Question. I'm trying to, Drew's popped in here. It's like Drew just comes out of nowhere.
Stop, Drew. Drew, that is a sensitive subject.
Drew, too bad Sarah hates running races with people. Like Relay Iowa. Hey, you know what? Relay Iowa happens every year. Am I right? Am I right?
It does.
Yeah. I wish I could. You guys, yeah. I love it.
So Ashley's question was about strength training and cross training. And how does that help? Compared to running, as far as your fitness goals or your fitness goes, strength training, cross training, as it compared to your running?
That is a weakness. That is a big weakness. I am trying to get better with my strength training, but yeah, I'd probably get faster if I did it. I'd probably be a much stronger runner if I was really consistent with it. That's my next thing to work on, with consistency. I've got the running every day down. I've got that. I need to work on the strength training and cross training probably.
Sarah, what day are you on your run streak? If you don't want to share this.
No, it's not that. I like I was so
you
it was May.
No,
I'm not as organized as Kelby. I know. I should
you know
be
what?
Here
if
with
you
all
Kelby,
my stats.
If you ask Kelby nicely, I bet he will track your data for you.
He'll probably track. Yeah, I was gonna say he'll track it for you.
Is Kelby's still, is he on here? Tell May 15th of 2023. That's when I started. So I think I'm so 2 months away basically from 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right.
How did you decide that that was going to be a thing for you? Because I like for a long time, I really struggled with breaking apart the exercise from my weight loss. And now that I'm at the point where I have separated the two and they are not one and the same, I know that I need to rest. Like I do strength train. I've been doing it twice a week since September, like with someone, and I was doing it prior to But I realized that I have to take that break. But like, how did that work out for you where you were like, I'm going to start this and like, I'm going to just keep going. Was it organic or did you commit to that at the beginning or how did that happen?
Yeah, I had done a couple before. So I tried one in 2021 and I was like 5 months into it and I kind of got to the point where I was kind of like, I want to kind of break it, but like I wasn't really wanting to have that commitment to it.
Producer Rob says you don't get a say. It's just something inside of
you. I was laughing at Rob because that's how mine happened. It just kind of fell into mine.
Yeah. It honestly just kind of happened and it just kept going. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to keep going with this. And it's just something that like, well, I'll be on a weekend if like, not recently, but like, and I'll be sitting there and Marty's like, oh, well, you still have to get your run in. You still have to get your mouth. Like, we've got this to do. So like, you better get out and get it done so that, cause we've got this. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. And then it's the mile is keeps it going. So, I'm not one of those that it's gotta be a 5K or anything like that. Like 1 mile is good. And that I consider it keeping my streak alive.
Well, and I think it gets to a point too, where, you know, realistically, I always tell myself that at this point, which is really wild to me, I'm like, well, it's only 1 mile. You know, you get to the spot, you're like, it's only 1 mile. I'm like, it's only 1 mile. I mean, so I get that.
The only and the just and the, like those words that
those words get you in trouble.
Terrible. Yes.
You're like, it's only double what you already did. Like,
yeah.
Big deal.
I know. Yeah.
But Sarah, you couldn't have had too many days of running like just a mile. Like, I hate to say just a mile, but as we're saying all this, but you ran over, wasn't it 2,024 miles last year, correct?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, so that in and of itself is way impressive.
That is hard.
On top of doing the run streak. So,
you know, I was going to get my calculator out and be like, okay.
Yeah. What is that as a daily average?
It's under 6 miles a day, I want to say. Somebody can correct me.
Remarkable.
I feel like Kelby, it's like five, probably has the answer.
Give 5 me a minute. Point something per
yeah,
day.
Kelby will give you exact.
And you're targeting a similar goal this year, correct?
Oh, same. Yeah, I did it. I tried for years and I never could get it. And then in 2021, I hit it and I've done it every year since. I've done the year in miles.
Sarah, is there anything you cannot do at this
point? Oh, I can't qualify for freaking Boston.
Hey, I can't either. So we got that going for us.
I don't know. Yeah, there is a lot of things I can't. But
I think you, like myself, we seem to have some bad luck on race day. Like, again, not to make excuses, but wasn't the last marathon, wasn't it like crazy hot for you? Wasn't it like in the 80s?
Well, okay, so, yeah, so this, when I think I've trained my best, and I feel bad because I know Doug's really excited for this race in June, but that course, I've done it twice, and each time, the first year, it was in the 90s by the end of the race, and the second year, so they do a lot of different races on this race course, and it's all downhill, it's considered trail, but it's not technical at all. And
is this the Tahoe Marathon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there's just over a 2 mile tunnel where you're going through the tunnel in the dark. You have to wear a headlamp to be able to see. It's awesome. It's a great race. But I did it in July, the first one, and that's when it hit the 90s. And so they started an hour early and it still was miserable. Like some of the water stations were out of water by the time we got there. And then, so I was like, okay, there's one in September. I'm going to do it in September. September is like perfect. It might even rain. Like, yeah, September, all of a sudden we get a heat wave and the smoke rolled in so from the forest fires. So we've got smoke. Like the day I went to pick up my bib, it was like smoky, like, you could feel it in your throat. By the time I got done with the marathon, I sounded like I had just like been a 50-year smoker. Like it was, yeah, both of those race days. Yeah. Not ideal.
See, this is why you don't like organized races, because this is the this is what you have associated with it.
Lindsay, there's like, so much lead up. There's so much lead up to it, and then it's like out of
things. Yeah, now I understand out of your control. Your race day jitters. I get it now.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm gonna channel all the good vibes for perfect weather on October 12th this year. It's gonna be so good. Low humidity. It's gonna be like in the 40s. It's overcast.
And your race with Doug is what? That's June 21st.
June 21st
after his birthday.
Yeah.
And that's October of this year. Did you guys just say?
For June.
Yeah, Chicago is the October one.
But the one in June is in Washington State, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a little bit of home turf. That should be.
Yeah. It's the same course as I did the other two where I had. So I'm like, is it me? Do I bring the bad weather to the race? Like, I want it to be perfect for Doug too. I'm excited. Yeah. I think he'll love it because it is. It's so weird because it's a very gradual downhill and it's not on pavement. So it's just, I don't know. Both times I've done it, when I'm done, like my body feels pretty good.
And I feel bad we didn't do any dance trends at all. He wants to do dance trends. We didn't do, no.
Well, you guys were too busy running though. I mean, you had a lot of miles to cover.
Yeah. I feel like the weekend just like, it was just, here and gone. It was so fast.
Just got Mary Grace said, is she talking about tunnels?
Yes. We've switched from running to tunnels. No, the marathon that we were just talking about and the one that Doug and I are both doing in June has a 2-mile tunnel that you go through.
Yeah, Sarah, somebody's asking specifically about the Washington run, and it's called the Tunnel Marathon, correct?
Well, this one is called the Super Marathon.
Okay.
But they do have, I think it's called Tunnel Vision or something. There's one on the same course. It's called the Jack and Jill, and it goes from Snoqualmie Pass. So it starts at the ski resort, and then you kind of go down and finish in North Bend. So yeah,
that's really cool.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
2 miles of tunnel. That's crazy.
And it's pretty early on in the marathon, isn't it?
Yes. So, sorry, my AirPods are dying. Can you still hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I did the Jack and Jill, you start and you go for like a couple hundred yards and then you're in the tunnel like right away. And then with the one that I did in September and the one that Doug and I are doing in June, you actually do an out and back first that's very flat, and so you get about 5 miles in before you go into the tunnel, and then you go through the tunnel and it's flat, and then it's that gradual downhill. I think you lose like over 2,000 feet elevation as you go.
Nice.
It's just super mild, but it kind of just carries you.
That's cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That has to be beautiful too. Like just this, the scenery around you. I mean,
it is. If you guys follow Nicole,
yes, running.
She runs on there a lot. She's got some good videos of it. I don't have very many videos of running in it, but you're in the trees. You're running along old railways and stuff, little bridges.
Is it all paved? The whole thing paved?
No, it's trail? it's like a gravel. Like it's a packed gravel.
Oh, okay.
The whole way. Yeah. It is like so ideal. Yeah. It's not technical at all. You would wear regular running shoes. I've heard that if you try and wear the like fancy Superfly or whatever they are, like those ones get trashed. Yeah, they get trashed pretty hard because of the surface. But
Mary Grace wants to know how dark the tunnel is.
Dark, pitch black. If you don't have a light, you can't see. And so you wear your headlamp, and then when you get through, they have like a place where you can just toss your headlamp. And at the beginning, they have like headlamps from the year before that you can use.
That is really cool. So you don't even have to bring your own. It's like they have.
Yeah. Yeah. The first year I brought mine, and then at the end, when I got to the end of the
finish line. I had some other drama, and so I forgot to get my headlamp. And then the second time I brought one, but I ended up just handing that to Marty and then using one of the ones that they had there for me.
You talked a little bit about fueling, but we really didn't talk about how you fuel now, like for runs. Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what's your favorite fueling source or food or whatever? How, like, what do you pick and choose? Because it's kind of like a free for all around here when it comes to fuel and food for us. But
yeah, so I'm not great unless I'm on the treadmill. I think that's why I opted to do a lot of my running for this last challenge on the treadmill, was because I could have everything just right there.
Yeah.
I don't like running and carrying stuff very much. So that's maybe why I'm not huge on some of the ultra stuff. But I run fasted a lot of the time because I get up and go first thing in the morning.
Which is actually pretty common. I think there's a misconception that everybody like fuels a big breakfast before an early morning run, but in terms of what I've seen online and people I know personally, it's pretty rare unless it's before a really big training run or race day. So
yeah,
just want to throw that out there. That
yeah, and just real quick, Mary Grace, yes, there is a half marathon option for the downhill one that I was talking about. Most of them have them. In fact, this last time I did it, I sent my husband to the half marathon finish line instead of the full marathon finish. And that's why he wasn't there at the finish of my race.
Oops.
But yeah, so fuel, if I am running a super long distance, I'll do booze or chews and stuff like that. I seem to handle them pretty well. My body isn't bothered by them. But yeah, I like electrolyte drinks. I liquid IV. It's accessible. I use that. I pick it up at Costco every other week whenever I go, and I use that.
I'm definitely like, I'm sitting here right now at 8:20 sipping on a Celsius. So there's definitely no judgment when it comes to what you're choosing to deal with or anything like that. I'm curious to know, you know, like a lot of times it's interesting to me, like people will choose real food over like a goo pack. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you carry that and not like break your Pop-Tart into 500 pieces? I tend to run more fasted also just because I don't like to eat a lot before I run. But sometimes I procrastinate so much that I don't run until noon. So that's a big problem for me, you know?
I can't do the fasted running. I try that and then like I feel so gassed. Like I will try it and then I'll get like 1 or 2 miles in and I'm like, nope, I can't do this.
Yeah. See, and that's a beauty. I can do running. It. You can find what works for Everybody, you and yep. like yeah. quite literally run with it. It's yeah, like exactly. It really doesn't matter what you're doing if it works for you.
I like my blueberry bagel with cream cheese. That's what I need. And then I can go.
I like that. Yeah. That sounds good right now.
Yeah, if I run in the afternoon or something, I have to have something before that. But if I'm getting up in the morning, I just get up and I go. Unless it like this last week when I was doing the challenge, I made sure I ate
homemade organic gels.
Yeah, like right. You're so full of crap. Is that what you call Pop-Tarts sticks? Let's see the recipe for your organic homemade gels.
I also
think it's be like for real, sometimes. And he's telling the truth now.
probably is.
I can go
now that I say that, I'm like, okay, probably is.
Sometimes I can go for like a 10K or even a 10 mile run, and I'll hardly even take water with me. But then sometimes I can go for a 10K or 10 mile run, and I'm starving, and I'm like, no, I can't do this. I have to have food on me. But there's like no rhyme or reason.
Yeah,
I feel like sometimes it's just like. I mean, I feel like that kind of with like food too. Like some days I feel like I need to eat more than others. And like, I don't know if it's just your body saying to you like, hey, yesterday you did a little bit more work than you're doing today and we need to make up for that. Like, but that's so funny because it's not something I ever paid attention to before. Like, because before me even focusing on like proper eating, nutrition, or trying to like eat to fuel my body versus just eat emotionally, I didn't have any of those cues. And now I do, which is really strange that I've like taught myself like, oh gosh, okay. But it's still hard not to have a little bit of like guilt with food when you do eat more because of the fact that you're like, if I eat more, am I going to go back to where I was before? You know, like I have those thoughts sometimes, which really suck, but I have to work through that. That's an emotional thing, a mental thing on my own part. But it's interesting because it probably is like that. Like you probably worked harder than you realize. Therefore, you need more to fuel the next day because your body's trying to make up for that.
Yeah.
For sure. A balancing act is exactly what it is. Mother runner waffles. So see, this is how.
Oh, no, that's part of her name. Emily Mother Runner. And then she said waffles are the best.
Waffles are the best.
I was like, wait, like, I've never heard of that brand of waffles before.
Are you? Like, I want to know, like, so when every, like, there's a lot of people saying the waffles. Like, are we talking, like, the Struple waffles, like, the
Eggo waffles.
Honey Stinger ones? Or, like, full-on, like,
I'm assuming, like, the frozen, like, Eggo waffles is, like, what my assumption is, but I am curious now, too, because I could be totally off base.
Blueberry Eggo waffles hit hard. Those are pretty good.
Okay, Eggo waffles.
Or nothing.
Eggo.
Yep, okay, perfect.
Frozen. Okay. Yeah. When I was at the end of the challenge, I started to think maybe, especially when I'm on the treadmill, like if I just like did a bunch of like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or peanut butter and honey and just had them sitting there on my little shelf next to my treadmill and grabbed those. I never did it though, but I considered it. I can't think about packing those. I see people that will pack like the sandwich, and the idea of a smushed sandwich to me just revolts me for some reason. I think it brings me back to grade school.
Cut it up into the little squares and you put an airtight baggie and stick it in your pocket and it's good.
But it gets smushed, right?
Not if it's in the outside pocket.
During the ultra that I did, the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were very smushed.
Mine don't get smushed.
Okay, but Lens is magic. You are magic. What kind of vest are you wearing that doesn't smush them?
I think Lindsay's is just lower maintenance than the rest of us when it comes to food. Lindsay, here's what I picture. I picture Lindsay taking that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, wadding it up in a ball, and just being willing to eat it like an apple. Okay, that's what I picture. I think she's fine with it. So when she says this to us, we're like, oh, my sandwich got smushed. And she's like,
I did put a chicken biscuit in my vest one time and I ran like 4 miles with a chicken biscuit in there and it held up. It did just fine.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Linz. I better quit
dog.
Your given name.
I don't care. Actually, here's something that a lot of people don't realize is that when I created this username, L-I-N-Z, in my brain, I'm saying Lindsay. But I get Linz, and I answer to Linz, and I get my friends nickname me. I've heard Linz and Lindsay, but like it's funny now.
Linz.
I've always called you Linz. I'm sorry.
Have been called Linz too. Like I've been called Linz.
I but love like, that we just learned this interesting fact. Now we
I
get
do too.
But like 4 years ago or 3 years ago when I did the username, that's what I was thinking was Lindsay. But now I'm so used to Linz, it doesn't matter. Like it just is.
You should have put a hyphen in there.
No, it's just the way I like it. Short and sweet.
Oh shoot. I love it. I was 2 days years old when I learned it was actually Lindsay.
I don't care.
And Doug
I really
being
don't
called
care.
Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Like
call me what you will. I get called a lot of things that aren't my name too.
I'd imagine.
I also honestly prefer Lindsay. Nobody can spell my real name. No one can spell the way my name is really spelled. They always misspell it. So Lindsay is perfect. Just drop off the unnecessary part that everybody misspells. It's fine.
I love it. So when are you, okay, so February's done. Do you have any other challenges for yourself or would you like to share that? Or is that something that you just kind of like organically create as time goes on?
I don't have anything planned right now. Owen is like a little like feeder of like different ideas. And so he's thrown some other things out there, like something similar to like the 4x4x48, but like more intense. I'm going to have to circle back to him on that. Honestly, what fascinates me is the backyard ultra. Styx has done that, right? Where you go out every 4 hours.
Every hour.
Or every hour, trying to do four miles every hour on the hour. The hour, trying to do four miles every hour on the hour. And I would love to try that. I think that kind of thing.
Let's find one. We should find one, and we should get as many run talkers there as we can.
I would love to do one.
Seriously.
Well, because then we could have like a really sweet home base set up, right? Yeah, sticks is all on it.
That is one where I would sit at home base and wad up peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for you guys. Throw them at you like
don't baseballs. Wad up mine. I don't want a wadded peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I will make
sandwich.
Sure that yours is delicately put together and the bread will be nice and fluffy, promise.
I want it very fluffy.
Just throw mine at me as I run by.
But truly, you saying that, Jen, I think a lot of ultra running success does come down to having a good crew, whether that's people pacing you or like manning your base crew. It can seriously make or break you from going out and continuing on. It truly can. So
I think we got a bunch of people ready to crew this. I think we need to make it happen.
Let's find one.
You know, Sarah, that I actually had to ask, hey, does that just mean you guys run a circle in someone's backyard? Like I had no idea the actual, you know, I hear this and like backyard ultra, like what, somebody, you just go to someone's house and like someone's got the barbecue, and then you run around. Like that doesn't seem that, I mean, these people are rich and have big backyards, obviously. I had to learn.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of it. I love that kind of thing.
Oh, Claire was there with me too. Okay, good. So backyard ultra means you run four, is it just 4 miles as quickly as you can in 1 hour, and then any time left over you have to rest, and you do that till the last
person standing.
Yes.
Until you're done.
They picked that particular distance because if you can go for 24 hours, then it's a 100 miler that you've completed.
I think Dan did a whole story on the origin of the backyard ultra. It's in his, I think it's in his link tree, maybe that one is. He did a couple stories on like Laz and like the start of the backyard ultra and all of that.
I'm on board for West Coast. There's Styx. Where's Styx from?
He's in California.
California. Yep.
Yeah. So Leah, you do a 4 mile run once every hour, as many times as you can until you can't anymore.
You have to start on the hour, right? They have like a starting line, and if you're not there, then you're done.
Then you're out.
I am not there for the Taco Bell one.
I'm not either. That's where I draw the line.
We had a very good discussion on the Taco Bell run when we talked to Dan. And nope.
I'll crew that one. I'll come. That's when I'm passing. I'm not doing that.
I'll hang out with the tacos and burritos as long as I can stand in one place still and not have to run after eating it. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you guys are awesome. I just want to say thank you for doing this. I've enjoyed watching them. That's actually when I do consistently do my strength training, is when I'm listening to you guys on here. I'll do my strength training and listen to it. But when I do that, I miss out on all the fun comment section. So,
well, yeah. Sarah, it's been an honor having you on. And thank you for sharing more about the calendar challenge. Yes.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Awesome.
And as always, you guys, our episode from last week will drop on YouTube right now. And we are available to listen on Spotify and Amazon Podcasts. And we will be back next week with another fun episode and a surprise guest that we will share with you at some point.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Thank you
so much. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye, guys.